now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Off we go into another week. Thanks for being with us. The Cardinals, your Cardinals, are 100-1. They're tied with Miami for the lowest win total at 5, according to the wise guys in Vegas. So I'm sorry to start your week on a note of, Brad, I'm the season ticket holder. We got Kyler Murray. We've got this. We got that. Vegas today releases it. Cardinals 100-1 with Miami to be the lowest win total in the National Football League. If that happens, is Steve Keim going to be here or not? So we have plenty to get into. Kent Summers is going to Skype in today. Of Kent at 1020 AZ Central Sports columnist is going to talk about his reaction, his view on Kyler Murray. After reading what Kent has put out there the last few days, it is, I think, a really interesting take on his part. I would say that we are both in the same boat, that there are better ways that they could have gone. This is not going to be a cheerleading segment. This is not going to be everything is great. So it'll be good journalism, I do believe. And then, look, I'm fine talking with somebody who thinks this is the greatest thing ever. God knows there's enough of that going on around town on TV and radio stations that have partnerships with the Cardinals. Like, this is the greatest thing ever. We're going to go to the Super Bowl. Everything is fabulous. There's nothing wrong. Why would we question Josh Rosen and how they handled him? Like, okay, I got you. I understand. You guys have partnerships, and so you're never going to say anything's really the way it is. Amazing. Here's the thing. So is Kyler Murray coming here? It's fine. It's great. It's interesting. Yeah, it gives us something to talk about. It gives us something to look forward to. I am one of those, though, that I don't have to have it be all around the NFL. I'm blessed enough to look at the baseball team and say, yeah, they struggled against the Cubs this weekend, but I'll take 15 innings. I'm interested enough to say the Suns have the number one overall pick in the draft. Maybe that's happening again. Maybe we're going to have another number one overall pick. You know, Bobby Hurley's trying to get in a couple of assistants and some transfer players. The point is there's a lot more going on here than just Kyler Murray. He's just another piece of the puzzle of what we got here in Arizona, which is a lot better than 99% of the other markets in our country. So while I'm giddy today to have a bunch of new players to talk about and work through, it's just a piece in the wall. Outside of Kent, so Eric was at Byron Murphy's house for 2 days. I think when Eric Sorensen gets invited to a player's home for the draft, the player and the family should circle up and say, you know that when this guy gets invited, we don't get drafted. Like, you're 0-2 now on that whole first day deal.
You sort of look at it as a glass half empty type situation.
Me?
I look at it as a glass half full because both the players got drafted by the Arizona Cardinals and they didn't have to relocate to Buffalo. So everyone should be happy about that. Granted, they did lose a little bit of money sliding into the second round. But
yeah.
Hey, you know what? All's well that ends well.
Did you enjoy this draft?
I didn't see much of the draft until Saturday because I was on lockdown Byron Murphy.
Yeah,
I thought.
Did you eat big shrimp, by the way, for 2 days straight? Days they had big shrimp at that event.
No,
big shrimp.
They had chicken and waffles. That was pretty good.
Is that right?
Yeah. And one night it was Mexican food, and that was pretty good.
I think I want to go to one of these things. I don't think they'd invite me in because I'm not tight with them. You know, but
you'd get bored.
You think?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of standing and waiting. And
who's the next player in Arizona that's going to get drafted out of high school to college to pro in the first or second round? Who do you think the next player is? Is it Eno Benjamin? No, Cartman would have a good answer on this one.
It doesn't necessarily have to be local.
Doesn't have to be local.
From a local high school?
We can combine them together. Either they're from an Arizona high school or they went to college here or presently enrolled at Arizona State, U of A, or NAU.
I'd have to say Eno Benjamin. I think you're right. I don't know if he's going to be a first-round draft pick. That's pretty nice.
Because we've had a really good run here lately. We've had a great run, if you think about it, the last couple of years.
Well, I mean, look at how many Arizona players were drafted this year that had high school connections to the Valley.
It's like when people said, why are you pulling the ripcord on getting out of local TV in 2012 to go do this? It's because of the last 2 years. You cover these kids in high school, and then they go to college, and then they go to the NFL, and the story is not the day they get drafted. The story is the 7-8 years of leading up to. We don't do creepy stories on 7th and 8th graders. I think I've mentioned maybe 1 8th grader, and he's coming into the fold, a quarterback who's going to be a freshman next year. But very seldom. Like, we knew about Christian, we knew about Spencer.
Yeah, I mean, the first time early. I saw Christian Kirk, he was a little 5'7", literally 145-150 pound little slot receiver that was just really fast, and that was it. And now he's an NFL wide receiver. I know Jared Cohen was the first one to track Byron Murphy, and it was the same deal. He was a basketball player, gave football a shot, decided to focus on football, undersized, and now he's an NFL cornerback. So
I remember Sean Aguano asking me to come speak to his team in a conference room, and it wasn't the whole team. It was just like 7 players, and Nikhil was one of those 7 players. Chase Lucas was one of those 7 players, and I gave them the usual. When I get asked to go to speak to high school kids, I pull this thing out, and I say, this is a Lamborghini. None of you know how to drive it. Stop putting idiotic stuff on social media and stop making it all about you and how I got mine and how I'm being slept on, all that nonsense. And that's why I met Nikhil. And you don't know. You don't know. But the interest level, like Brett Hundley is someone that I drove people at Channel 3 crazy about. All the way back in 2009. It's, this guy is going to be something. And then Cardinal players, Fitz asked me about Brett Hundley when Brett was a junior at Chandler High. Fitz said, I want to go see him. So he went to a game with me. And so you see all this come full circle, and it's – people are like, don't you miss being around just the pro sports? No. It's fine doing it. It's not that I'm not there. We would just rather be about community first. And this weekend shows what we do works. And I felt this way for years, and it's fun. It's really fun. Josh Rosen could not have handled himself any better. The false narrative of our industry, what a shock. If you watch Fox News and you don't say one thing, you're viewed as an idiot. If you watch MSNBC, you say something, you're viewed as an idiot. If you don't go along with the narrative. So when the narrative gets put out, and whoever puts out the narrative has their own interests. I've seen times where organizations in pro sports, even college sports here in the state, will start trashing a player the minute it doesn't start going right for them, meaning the university. And when the player leaves, oh, well, we didn't really want him anyways. I mean, I've heard that nonsense through the years, through many years. So, you know, this moment the other night, here's this happened the other night at Fitz event. So this was Rosen coming out. He gets introduced, and there's a standing ovation by fans. This is what we're about here in Arizona. I saw someone who trolled on this in media said Josh Rosen should have his head in a playbook rather than showing up at a softball game. Beyond clueless. Okay, this was, he had no reason, business to do this other than he had committed to this event and was very smart and professional in his approach. I don't think showing up for a couple of hours in April is going to impact how he performs as a quarterback with the Miami Dolphins. I think it speaks infinitely stronger about the type of guy that Josh Rosen was. Did they upgrade themselves at quarterback? We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And when I say that, it's with life insurance. If you were to come home tonight and say, hey, honey, how's it going? And the kids, hey, how's it going? And then tomorrow morning, you're on your way to work, and that was the last day that you're around. Is everything handled? Is everything protected? Do you have everything in place? College planning, weddings, whatever it may be, even final costs, guys, all this can be taken care of through life insurance and some of the products at Sagicor Now. I work with them. I really enjoy being out with people and talk about their financial futures. Who are some people that you want to take care of that took care of you along the way? You've come into a little bit of money, doesn't have to be a lot, and you want to leave a legacy for your high school? You want to leave a legacy to this pastor or this person that took care of you? It's great. It's fun. So that's what I like to do. Log on to Sagicor Now. Get your free quote. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Kent Summers Skypes in next. I'm Brad Susmat. Right, a little bit later in the show, why Steve Kerr was telling James Harden that U of A is a better school than ASU yesterday, which was just funny stuff. Also, Eric has a little video that he did with Byron Murphy at Byron's draft party. and some other things are on my mind before we get out of here. Kent Summers joins us now via Skype, columnist for the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Kent weighing in on a number of topics following the draft with the Arizona Cardinals. All right, partner, you brought out the sledgehammer, I felt like, in regards to Rosen, strategy, everything with this team. State your case on where you're at with the Cardinals now that it's all done.
I just didn't think the first-round choice made a lot of sense, not a year after they traded up to take Josh Rosen with the 10th overall pick. I still think Josh Rosen can be a very good NFL quarterback. I'm not sold that Kyler Murray is going to be that much better. I just felt like the cost was too high. They moved up last year in the draft, gave up a third and a fifth to take Rosen, paid him, you know, the huge signing bonus, took the brunt of that contract, and now, you know, a year later, getting rid of him for pennies on the dollar and taking an additional $8 million cap hit. Look, I like Kyler Murray a lot. I saw almost every game Oklahoma played this year. He's dynamic, but he's also 5'10", and he's also has a baseball option. Mm-hmm. And how committed is he to football? I still think that question will linger for a couple of years.
Okay, now the draft is over, Kent. The deal with Rosen is done. Are they a better team today than they were at this time last week?
Maybe a modicum better, just because they've got draft picks coming in, because they addressed the receiver position, because they have, I think, finally a very good cornerback that they can pair with Patrick Peterson, or maybe take over for Patrick Peterson one day, and Byron Murphy, a Saguaro product. I do like the receivers they drafted. The Isabella kid in the second round can fly. They needed speed at that spot. I think it's probably a misnomer to label him a slot receiver just because of his size. He's, you know, not too many slot receivers can run a 4.3 40. So I like what they did in the draft, other than, you know, not getting offensive linemen high in the draft. But, you know, it was a team with so many needs that it's hard to address all of them just via the draft.
Kent, let's get off of the story about the players, and I want to focus on management. You've covered this team as a beat writer. Now you're in the position of columnist. You're a voter for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You know the NFL inside and out. When you see what's gone on here in the last year of going from Steve Wilks to Cliff Kingsbury, from going Josh Rosen to Kyler Murray, from Steve Keim last summer and his DUI, where is this organization at in terms of credibility across the league? Internally, do they understand how far away they are? Vegas listed them today at 100-1 to win 5 games next year. Not that Vegas is the end-all of end-all, but your overall view of where the organization is away from the roster and in the front office?
Well, we all know, you know, you want to complain about Vegas, but then the results come in and it's uncanny how, you know, the odds makers are usually right. You know, I think it's an organization as a crossroads. I've covered them or been around them for almost their whole time here in Arizona, and I can't remember an off season like this with two, where their biggest moves were just two huge gambles. They hire a coach in Kingsbury with zero NFL coaching experience, a guy who had a losing record and got fired at his alma mater. Then they draft a quarterback who's 5'10", who had 1 year as a starter at the college level. And, you know, you stop to think about the risks involved with each of those moves. Clearly, they're rolling the dice. We've known for a while Steve Keim's job is on the line. I think, you know, over after the first 3 years of success that they had with the Keim-Arians regime, I think the football side of the organization got cocky. Mm-hmm. I really do, that they had the answers. I think they didn't stay humble. The 16 and 17 drafts were bad. A lot of free agency choices were bad. You know, and there's an old saying in the NFL or all of sports, you know, either be humble or get humbled. And, you know, I think they've been humbled, and we'll see where it all ends out. But it's definitely a pivotal year. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury has to prove he can coach at this level, and Kyler Murray has to prove he can play at this level. That doesn't mean finishing 500, but that does mean showing a significant improvement over what we saw last year.
When you talk about Steve Keim's job being in jeopardy, at the end of the day, he and Michael Bidwell have been together for many, 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 many years. Michael, in all of this, has been out front has Michael taken much heat, much blame? I think it's all falling on Steve. I would say it's the top organization down situation.
No question about it. You know, and Michael deserves a lot of credit for the stadium and for the success that they had. And
Super Bowl's coming, yeah.
Yeah, and he was eager to take that credit. He wanted it and deserved it. So obviously now he needs the blame. I think it's a reason Steve Keim kept his job after last season and Steve Wilks was fired, is that Michael Bidwell was right there every step of the way on the hiring process. That wasn't a Steve Keim call. I mean, that was two guys conducting a coaching search, just like they did with Bruce Arians, and really just like they did with Cliff Kingsbury. And the drafting of Kyler Murray, same thing. Nothing happens in that organization of any consequence without Michael Bidwell signing off on it. So, of course, he's the president. You know, maybe one day he'll be called the owner. So he's obviously going nowhere. But Steve Keim could be even as close as he and Michael are. I mean, another bad season, a fourth straight year out of the playoffs. And if, like I said, I don't expect them to go to the playoffs. I don't know that Michael does, but without improvement, I think we could see a different general manager in 2020.
Kent Summers with us, AZ Central Sports, Arizona Republic columnist. Before I get you out of here, Patrick Peterson last week had some odd moments with his social media. What are we to read into that now?
He's obviously not happy with someone. I was told by an NFL source that somebody in the front office said something to him that irritated him, that made him unhappy. You know, and we know going back to midseason last year, Patrick asked for a trade, pretty much hung Steve Wilks out to dry because the news broke while they were on the practice field, and Wilks knew nothing about it. You know, and a team captain is asking for a trade. I mean, it really helped cut the legs out under Steve Wilks. And now, you know, a week or two ago, Patrick is posting cryptic messages on Instagram and Twitter, et cetera. And people are wondering what's going on. It's Patrick. He's a really good person. He's done a lot of good in the community. I think at times he has a thin skin. I don't know what was said to him. You know, and maybe he's justified. But I also think if you're not going to detail what it is publicly, then don't put out cryptic messages on social media. And, you know, that's the level of passive aggressiveness that's not needed. You know, go settle it behind closed doors. And then if you want to go public with it, go public with it. But don't go halfway, leaving everybody wondering what's going on.
Before I get you out of here, biggest question in your mind now that needs to be answered between now and the start of training camp?
Really good question. I think for the Cardinals, it's putting this offense together. What's it going to look like? Mm-hmm. You know, Cliff Kingsbury mentioned at the owners' meetings, I think, that, you know, when he came here, he didn't really have an actual physical playbook. It was all digital. It was on video. And he and his staff are trying to mesh that together, his system with the NFL system. And how is he able to install that? And what's it going to look like with Kyler Murray at quarterback? I think a big thing now is, what's that offensive line going to look like? Are they going to be able to have David Johnson back functioning at a David Johnson level? And are they going to be able to protect Kyler Murray enough that he's not running for his life every play?
A lot of questions for sure. Good stuff as always, Kent. Appreciate the time. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
Kent Summers joining us via Skype after the draft is complete. Good stuff there, of course, with AZ Central Sports, their columnist. All right, on the other side, Eric was with Byron Murphy. We've got his story. I want Jordan Hamm to roll in this next segment, too. On this and some other things. Later, Steve Kerr telling James Harden that U of A is better than ASU, and it's killing the internet today. It's just plus the Diamondbacks. David Griffin is already trolling down the Suns of a person that he wants, who's not even a player, who you can make the argument is the MVP of the entire organization. Get into that too as we continue on. Welcome back. So part of what we do here through the years is we see players at the high school level. They become interesting to us in terms of their capabilities on the field and off the field. And they get recruited, and then they go on to college. And some of them, they end up making it all the way to the NFL draft. Eric was with one of those players that went from start to finish. That would be Byron Murphy at Saguaro. This was over the weekend.
With the 33rd pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Byron.
Saw my phone ringing, answered the phone, Cardinals called me, and it was the best experience of my life. They told me, are you ready to be a Cardinal? I said, yes, sir, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I've been dreaming about this moment. Been watching this team since I was a kid growing up.
I told him that the best team that you're going to mesh with, that you're going to develop well with, is where God's going to put you. His dream was basketball when he was little, and then he just kind of developed the talent for football, and it just went from there.
He's done incredibly. I'm so proud of where he's gone as a man and a father. Thursday night, I could see that he was, pretty upset. It was devastating, for a kid that worked that hard, that had these dreams of going in the first round, and then you fast forward to the next day, and it was like, a blessing.
Last night was emotional just because I thought I was going first round, but I know God had a plan for me. I just kept faith, stayed confident in myself.
Throughout the draft process, Murphy got some helpful hints as well as some words of encouragement from old friend and former Saguaro teammate Christian Kirk, who he now joins with the Cardinals.
He's a tough kid. His mentality is one of the strongest assets that he has. And, I knew that no matter what, wherever he gets drafted, I believe and he knows that he's the number one corner in this draft.
He just said stay patient. That's the biggest thing. Stay patient. Your time's coming. Always just text Christian about things, getting ready for the draft, the whole process.
The number one thing that explains it all is the tears. He had the waterworks just as much as I did. And, once you get that call, just all the work and you look around and you have all the people that had, either a little part of helping you get to this point or a huge part, and they're all here to support you, and you just can't thank them enough.
He came up and gave me that big hug, and that's priceless. That's why we do it.
I told him I love you, and I'm so happy for you, and I'm so proud of you.
My mom just talked about how hard I worked my whole life. She's been there for me, coming to every game. I don't think she missed a game since I was a kid, so, I told her I love her, and I thank you for everything you've done.
Just seeing it all kind of come into fruition, and him finally getting that call, it's crazy. I feel like I got drafted again.
When I was sitting there, I was like, if they call my name, it's going to be crazy, and I'm going to get emotional, and that's what happened.
All right, so Jordan is with us now, too, and Eric, jump back in on this. So when you first saw Byron Murphy, mm-hmm. did you think this was coming? This is where it was going to end up?
I think talent-wise.
Wait. Do it.
I think, there we go. I think talent-wise, certainly, I think the biggest thing was what his body would develop into. There's obviously so many guys with so much talent, but you still need that NFL frame. And I think he's still a little bit smaller for NFL standards, but when you looked at the talent-wise and you saw the back and forth between him and Christian Kirk in high school, you could see that these were two studs that were going to go on to do some special things.
Did you see this, Eric, coming?
No. Uh-uh. He, sort of just piggybacking on what Jordan said, Byron Murphy was an exceptional athlete, but he was really small, undersized by even college standards, and he did his most growing both on and off the field when he went to the University of Washington.
All right, so who's next? Who's the next high school player or college player with Arizona ties? And we could throw Arizona State or U of A or NAU in, but if we start at the high school level, guys that maybe have already gone on, Spencer Rattler's already gone on or is going to go on, Jack Miller's going to go on. That's still a year away. Brock Purdy's already out there. Who's next? Because we've had this tremendous run of local players. Let's start with you.
I think the guy that jumped out to me when you gave me this question was Austin Jackson, the offensive tackle with USC, played at North Canyon. We talked about the size struggles with Byron. Austin Jackson has no size issues. He looked like he was a 30.
He played last year, right?
Yeah, he played a lot the past couple of years. Yeah. And he looked like a 30-year-old as a senior in high school going to these All-American games. And, I went to the U.S. Army All-American game where he was there, and he showed out. And he was able to really have, I think now we'll have a solid multi-year resume with USC. So I think he could be a guy that could be a first-round type talent in whether it's this upcoming draft or the one following.
What about you?
It's always tough to judge quarterbacks because only one can play. And quarterbacks move around a lot in college, as we've seen with Josh Fields and a bunch of other really highly touted kids that are now on their second, sometimes third school. I would say Spencer Rattler has a chance to play in the NFL, but the person who I'm most confident in is probably Keely Ringo over at Saguaro, because he's already got the size and he's just scratching the surface of the type of player that he's going to be for whatever major university lands him. He's going to be a senior next year.
Okay, the two kids at Sal Point.
I I'm a little hesitant to go really any high school player because I don't want to put that sort of pressure on them. But Bijan Robinson has the size, and I think he's the most talented running back I've seen in the state. It'll be interesting to
ever?
See. Yeah. Yeah.
I agree with Jordan. I think he's going to go down as – I said this over the last year. I think he's going to go down as the best high school running back ever to come out of Arizona.
Better than Kadeem Carey?
Yes.
Yes.
Easily?
He still has another year. If I'm just projecting forward, yes, better than Kadeem Carey.
Huh.
The interesting thing with him will be we're seeing running backs, the way they are used in the NFL, it's changed a lot. How is it going to look 3 years from now when he's – could be thinking about going to the NFL 3-4 years from now? What is that role going to look like? He's pretty much a runner. He can certainly catch it out of the backfield, but it seems like the way at least Sal Point is using him right now. And again, it's very tough to compare high school to NFL, but
no, I get it.
For the most part, he is a run-heavy guy. So it'll be interesting to see how he is used at the college level and where the NFL running back is a couple years from now.
And we don't know how these college kids are going to do in college because a lot of it has to do with the coaches. Like, say player X goes to school Y, but the head coach at school Y jumps to take another job and another coach comes in and they run a completely different system. It's just hard to project.
Well, and with transfers. I mean, when Ryan Finley came out, I don't think any of us anticipated he would end up at North Carolina State.
Right.
But he did. He thrived. Like you said, it was the perfect coaching match for him to really take those next couple of steps and become an NFL quarterback.
I'm in the transfer portal as we speak, so we'll see what happens.
That's good stuff. So, okay, here's the bigger question. Will we have a basketball player or a baseball player, a football player from the high school scene taken in the first round? Which space will happen first?
Well, Jordan would know better on the baseball side, but I'm fairly confident Nico Mannion's going to be playing in the NBA in like 2 years.
Yeah,
so.
If I had to put money on it, I would probably put Nico as the number one. So, I mean, but baseball also had two last year with Libertor and Nolan Gorman, and they're already tearing it up. So definitely a solid class for baseball and football. But I think Nico, I was looking already, and he's projected as like the number 6 overall pick in the 2020
crazy.
Draft.
Crazy. So. All right, before we get out of here, so Eric, do you watch Game of Thrones?
No. Social media, but I do not watch it.
Have you seen one episode?
No.
Me either.
Not even 1 second of one episode.
Me either.
I was parked at 6 o'clock, ready to go.
So you have this thing where people see your social.
Yeah.
You're kind of over the top.
What do you mean over the top?
You're like addicted to this.
I'm not addicted. I work very hard and I need a outlet to release.
Did you go to Endgames this weekend?
Yeah, I went to Endgame, watched Game of Thrones. I think a lot of the...
What is the Game of Thrones thing? What is the attraction? What are we missing? What are Eric and I missing here?
See, and that's the thing. I'm not the most diehard. I enjoy it, but like half of the characters, they're like unrecognizable to me.
Yeah,
I don't know them by name. It's like, oh, that guy. I saw that guy do some cool.
So
stuff.
So you do the recruiting roundup, but you're not into the recruiting roundup with Game of Thrones.
Not really.
And Endgames, you might be in that space.
I enjoy the Marvel films. It was nice that my girlfriend was out of town this weekend because I was either at the Cardinals for like 20 hours working. Or I was just doing nerdier stuff that she would not be doing with me anyway. And
nerdier
she'd just be like,
stuff.
She'd be like, go do your stuff. Go on.
So Endgame and Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Eric and I, are we missing anything with this?
I think a binge is definitely, you should give it a shot.
Oh, I can binge.
It's
sometimes it's
Game
this,
of Thrones season one is pretty slow.
Yeah.
But it's good. I didn't think it was a perfect episode last night, but there were some moments I was fist pumping. So
I saw a movie theater that they were showing it at freak out when somebody stabbed somebody.
That was fake. That was a Photoshop.
Get out.
No, it was.
Oh, so it's not that big of a deal.
It was a big social media showed you it was a big deal, but it was. Yeah, that was Photoshop.
All right. Get out of here.
OK,
thank you. We get down to the heart of the matter with these people. We are back with more after this time out, including Steve Kerr and James Harden yesterday. How great a moment was that? We'll have that on the other side. All right, before we get out of here, I was during the break watching Josh Rosen in Miami. He's being introduced. Somebody asked him about the chip on your shoulder, and he said, yeah, it can't get any bigger, or otherwise I'll tip over. It's great. I think this is going to work out where we're going to be watching Josh Rosen every week versus what happens with Kyler Murray versus how the Cardinals perform. Like, Vegas put both Miami, who now has Josh Rosen, and the Cardinals at 5 wins today. 5. And 100-1. So go put your money down on them now. Go do that. And Rosen is he's holding court down in Miami today. Really interesting. All right, so the basketball stuff yesterday, I was actually glued to watching Golden State and Houston. I'm glued to it because the Warriors and the Rockets are doing this game show called Foul or Flop. I don't know if you've seen this game show before. If you watch most NBA games, Foul or Flop is becoming the fastest growing game. It's kind of like Eric and I when we do the how many wins are the Cardinals going to have? How many wins is ASU going to have? It's a great game show. Foul or Flop. So James Harden yesterday, every time he went up to shoot a three, or I should put it this way, the Rocket players went to shoot a three. The closeout of the Warriors, turning your body into the player, ended up happening quite often. Foul or flop. The three-pointer at the end, if you're a fan of James Harden, like if you're a Sun Devil, you'll just say James Harden did nothing wrong. Well, no, he flopped at the end. He did. And Chris Paul got thrown out of the game. There are 4 technicals or one ejection. It was an ugly, competitive game. And so when you look at the way that it went down and the Warriors win, we look forward to game 2. I thought this moment, so Steve Kerr, of course, coach of the Warriors, went to U of A. James Harden is a Sun Devil. So this actually happened. We might have to show this twice for full effect. This actually happened, an exchange between Steve Kerr and James Harden yesterday.
Arizona's a better school than ASU. Well, saying Arizona's a better school than ASU. Well, saying Arizona's a better school than ASU.
Now, was this photoshopped in? I don't think it was, because that does sound like Steve Kerr. And I can imagine Steve Kerr saying, hey, James, Arizona is a better school than ASU.
Oh, I'm sure he said it.
I'm sure he said it,
because these of all the, you know, Steve Kerr is mic'd up pretty consistently.
Yeah. How great is that?
It's solid. It's like friendly trash talk.
It's solid.
And Kerr was like that as a player, too. He was a friendly trash talker.
The coach telling the superstar player, my college is better than your college.
Because Steve Kerr knows the Warriors are going to beat the Rockets. I mean, come on. It's just one of those things. It's going to happen.
All right, before we get out of here, by the way, do you like that game, Foul or Flop?
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, but it's nothing beats our Cardinal and ASU projections, which we never remember.
Right. How many did we have? Anyways, more than Vegas.
Probably more than 5 wins.
What was your reaction to the story of David Griffin pursuing Aaron Nelson? Or did you not hear this?
I did hear about it.
What was your reaction?
Savvy move. I'm also wondering if Alvin Gentry is going to rehire Igor, if he has a spot on the bench, because they have a history. And it will be interesting to see, you know, the Pels aren't rebuilding like the Suns are.
Yeah.
But to watch how those two franchises moving forward, one might go up, one might go down. They both might go down. They both might go up. That's the storyline I'm going to follow.
I don't think the Suns can go down, can they?
Well, they could go from 19 wins to 16 wins.
Could they?
Sure.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton? If Aaron Nelson leaves, Aaron Nelson is, most of you may have, if you've heard of Aaron Nelson, then you truly are a big-time Suns fan. Aaron Nelson is one of the absolute last links to the past with the Suns organization to Jerry. Aaron Nelson and his way of training and keeping guys healthy. Without Aaron Nelson here, Steve Nash is nowhere near the player that he once was. Same thing goes for Grant Hill. And you could say, oh, they'll just go find trainers elsewhere. So David Griffin takes over New Orleans after he met with Robert for 3 hours in Miami and just said, Robert, I'm interested, but you got to stay out of the way. So it didn't happen. So then it comes out that now David Griffin is chasing Aaron Nelson to leave the Suns. And the Suns met with Monty Williams. There was no offer made as of yet. I just, gosh almighty, I don't think I'm living in the past when the team is so wretched for so long. And this is just another story that comes out of we know there's still some valuable pieces over there. We're going to go take away one of the most valued employees in the NBA, and that'd be Aaron Nelson. And it's just, look, The Pels will be in the playoffs before the Suns. I think we played this game, and the Lakers are actually making me look wrong. I think when the Lakers first went through their rebuild, I said on the show, yeah, the Lakers are going to make the playoffs again before the Suns do. I had no idea the Nuggets would make it to the playoffs or get a home victory for the first time since 2009 before the Suns did. And that happened the other night. Nuggets moved on to play Portland. So, you know, the playoffs outside of Philly, Toronto, and even Toronto with Kawhi. Eric was telling me he's watched the NHL. I've been watching the NBA a little bit. Maybe it's because I like seeing Charles and Shaq and Kenny and Ernie do the go fishing stuff when a team gets eliminated, like San Antonio. It's one of the funniest bits that is on television. But the games themselves, the Houston Golden State, while it had a sludgery about it yesterday, foul, foul, 5 seconds off, foul, foul, complain, whine, cry. It's compelling. It really is in a strange sort of way. All right. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen is always senior executive vice president of Nothing or Everything. Thanks to Jordan Hamm for dropping on in and Kent Summers as well. This show repeats over the next 24 hours. If you missed any part of it, the sponsors you see in this stream are also part of our television show. They believe in what we do. We appreciate them. We are self-funded. Without them, we don't do this. So we appreciate them and we hope you support them as well. Have a great day.